Welcome to Fracking and Health, Ask an Expert. The Endocrine Disruption Exchange has been studying the health impacts from unconventional oil and gas development, also known as fracking, since 2004. In each episode, our Executive Director, Carol Kwiatkowski, asks an expert to answer a question on how fracking may affect your health. You can submit a question at tedx.org.
Welcome to episode 6, where we ask, how can biomonitoring be used by communities impacted by fracking? Citizens and advocacy groups are concerned about people living near fracking sites having chemicals related to oil and gas activities in their bodies. Biomonitoring is a way to find out. I'm talking with Elise Caron-Baudouin, a scientist in the Department of Occupational and Environmental Health at the University of Montreal School of Public Health. She recently published a pilot study in which she measured metabolites of benzene in the urine of pregnant women in British Columbia. The results showed concentrations that are higher than the Canadian national average. Welcome, Dr. Caron-Baudouin.
Thank you.
Biomonitoring near fracking is a new area of research. How does one choose which chemicals to measure and what types of biological samples to collect?
So in the context of unconventional natural gas exploitation, so we try to target contaminants that are somewhat specific to this type of industry. And so we start by an extensive literature review on this subject. So for example, we know that higher concentrations of BTECs are associated with hydraulic fracturing. And we also know that depending on the rock formation, the produced water can also contain higher concentrations of toxic metals like arsenic or barium. So once we know which contaminants we want to measure in a biomonitoring study, we have to decide which biological samples is the most appropriate. So for volatile organic compounds like benzene, what we decided to do is to use biomarkers of exposure in urine instead of measuring benzene directly in urine. So the reason was logistical, because urinary benzene is highly volatile, and so the urine samples, they need to be analyzed very quickly. And it was not possible for us since our study took place in a remote area and we had no lab facility close to us. So the biomarkers that we selected are more stable in urine, and the analysis can be done several weeks after the sampling, as long as your urine samples are kept frozen in just a regular freezer. Another advantage to choose these urinary biomarkers is that they are also measured in the Canadian Health Measure Survey, which is similar to the NAINS survey in the United States. So it's a large-scale study that measure a variety of contaminants and metabolites or biomarkers in thousands of participants across the country. So we have access to data that give us an idea of what the general Canadian population is exposed to, and it's a great database for us to compare our biomonitoring results. But ideally, we would include a control group in every biomonitoring study, but it can be challenging to select a population from the same region, but that is not exposed to contaminants from hydraulic fracturing, when in northeastern British Columbia, where we conducted our pilot study, there's over 30,000 wells that have been drilled so far. And so that's why we use data from the Canadian Health Measure Survey to compare our results to. Another challenge when conducting biomonitoring study is that it can be very expensive. So when NGOs or communities want to start a similar project, I think they should definitely partner with academic researchers like we are, because researchers have the expertise and they also have the resources. They can usually do those kind of chemical analysis in-house. They can assist NGOs and communities in selecting the good, the accurate contaminants to study and the accurate biological samples to use. And they also have collaborations with other researchers that can assist in those analyses for a much cheaper price than a private lab.
That's really good advice. Thank you. We know that benzene and other fracking chemicals can come from many sources. How do you rule out other sources of exposure?
So that's a very big challenge in the context of the biomonitoring study that we did in northeastern British Columbia. We are not able to say at this point in the study that benzene exposure is coming from hydraulic fracturing, but it's one of our hypotheses. So there's a few reasons why we cannot say for now that it comes from hydraulic fracturing. One of the reasons is that we used urinary biomarkers of exposure, and they do have a lot of good points, like I mentioned. But unfortunately, they are not always 100% specific. So ideally, we would measure benzene directly. But like I explained, for logistical reason, it was a bit challenging. So for now, we need really further investigation to conclude that the levels of exposure to benzene are higher in this region. And for benzene, like you mentioned, there's a lot of various sources, like just smoking and pumping gas, so it can be challenging. One thing we can do to rule out the other sources of exposure is use survey questions to assess those other sources. So, for example, we did ask participants if they were smokers or non-smokers at the time of recruitment, but also if they ever smoked in their life. So that's one way to do it, is to use appropriate survey questions. One of the biomarkers that we use, it's called the trans-transmeconic acid, or TTMA. It's a metabolite that is also that can also come from a common dietary preservative. But according to the literature, the levels of TTMA in urine samples that are taken at night are more likely to represent benzene exposure. So hence why the urine samples that were taken by our participants were taken just before going to bed. So that's another thing you can do. It's also useful to collect data on hydraulic fracturing activity at the time of the sampling, when these data are available. So this way you can assess if there's any associations between the levels of biomarkers that you measured and the number of active wells, for example.
And how can biomonitoring data be used, particularly by advocacy groups?
So I think that, first of all, there's an important knowledge gap on health impacts of hydraulic fracturing. So we know that hydraulic fracturing releases contaminants in the environment, but data on human exposure in these regions are extremely limited. So the conversation, you know, that we are having now on the potential impacts of such industry is not based on any scientific data, really. And so as a scientist, filling this knowledge gap is one of the top priorities, I would say. But for NGOs and communities, I think with multiple lines of evidence, like data on human exposure, biomonitoring in indoor air, outdoor air, drinking water, even diet, and a good solid case, these data can definitely be used by NGOs and communities to, first of all, have a good idea of what's going on. Should we be worried? Yes or no? That's the first question to to answer. And then they can ask the government representative, the agency, public health officials for a more extensive monitoring and more protective measures to prevent exposure and exposure mitigation strategies if we see that it's needed.
That's definitely some more monitoring would be very helpful. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think to answer those really important question, the community-based research will be the answer. If you are from an NGO or a community, and those are questions that you are asking yourself, don't hesitate to contact researchers that work on this field. We are very, very open to work with you, and I think when we work together, it's definitely feasible to answer those questions.
That's great to know. Thank you. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. TEDx is a nonprofit research institute funded by grants from private foundations and by donations from individuals who care about our health and the environment. Visit our website at tedx.org for more information on what we do, to submit a question for an expert, or to make a donation.